Good evening. How's everybody tonight? Well, it's great to be able to be a part of the service tonight, be able to open up God's Word. It's also encouraging to see quite a few new faces here and quite a few familiar faces as well. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity where we can continue to look at the book of Hebrews. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each of us tonight. Speak through me and give us hearts that are willing to listen to your voice and help us to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're almost at the end of our series in the book of Hebrews. And tonight we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. And last week, Rob, he briefly mentioned the heroes of the faith, heroes from the time of old and how they all lived by faith. Now, these men and these women, they believed in God. And they believed that God would fulfill the promises that he had made. Now these heroes, they were just ordinary people. They were people just like you, people just like me. They weren't Superman or Superwoman with these great abilities or talents. Rather, they were individuals who were willing to believe God's word. They committed themselves to God's will. They devoted themselves to God's work. And they believed that God would fulfill the promises that he had made. Now these men and women, they all lived by faith. And as a result, they were able to finish well. And today, as we look at chapter 12 of Hebrews, we read about how we can also finish well. Now the Tour de France, it's almost finished, and the Olympics, it's about to begin. So there's plenty of sporting examples that I could use tonight as an illustration. So I've chosen the sport of basketball, and it relates to how we can finish well. So I don't know how much you guys know about basketball, but in order to win the game, well, you've got to get the highest score. And to achieve those highest score, you shoot the ball through the basketball ring. So just imagine you're going to this basketball ring over here. So for those of you who don't know much about basketball, it's a quick summary. If you're within the semicircle here and you shoot the ball into the ring, you get 2 points. If you're elsewhere in the court and you shoot the ball into the ring, then you get 3 points. And if you happen to get fouled, so someone does something wrong to you while you're going to shoot the ball, then you get to throw it from the foul line there and into the ring and hopefully you get 1 point. So all going well, that's what happens. And the best way to increase the chances of shooting the ball through the ring is to focus on the ring, and that's what you can see behind me now. So in Bendigo, we have the well-known basketball team called the Bendigo Braves. And for the professional basketball players, those that play for the Bendigo Braves, it can be difficult for them to score points. And that's because they have to contend with numerous distractions as they focus on that ring to try and score the points. They have to contend with spectators who are often pretty noisy and pretty rowdy. They have to keep an eye on their teammates in case they choose to pass the ball to them as well. And they also have to keep an eye on the opposition, because the opposition, of course, is trying to get the ball off them as well. So as a result, the players, they have to think, they have to respond, and they have to dispose of the ball very quickly. So basketballers, as they focus on the ring, they can be distracted by the things, by the events that are occurring around them. And as we look at Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, we can see that as believers, we need to keep our focus on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand throne of God." So just like the basketball players, we also have distractions. And it's easy for us to shift our focus away from Jesus. We can be distracted by our families, hobbies, studies, our work, school, money, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, and even the lack of spare time can be a distraction for us. So how can we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus with all the distractions that we face on a daily basis? Well, some ways include reading our Bibles and thinking about what it is that God's saying to us. Studying our Bibles with other people, asking questions about what it is we've read, and then looking for answers. Going to church and being encouraged by others that are there, praying, journaling, singing praise and worship songs. And what works for you to help keep you focused on Jesus? It might not work for the person that is sitting next to you. And a key for each of us to finish well with our lives, to live our living our lives for Jesus, is that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not be distracted by the events that are going on around us. And I know that for myself, our time, or probably should say the lack of time and tiredness, are two big distractions that get in my way and take my focus off Jesus. So for me, I need to make sure that I set time aside. And that needs to be time when I'm not feeling really tired and wanting to fall asleep, so that I can be with God, so that I can put my focus back on Him. And yes, that time slot, it can vary from day to day, even from week to week. But it never ceases to amaze me how when I give God the time, it's so much easier to keep my focus on Him during the easy times and also during the difficult times. Something else that I've also noticed is that when I'm focused on Jesus, I don't get as stressed or frustrated by the little things that go wrong, as I can hand them over to God and I don't have to deal with them, as I know that He is in control. And as for those of you who are parents here tonight, we also need to not only keep our own eyes focused on Jesus, but we also have the privilege of assisting our children to keep their eyes focused on Jesus as well. We're a role model to them, and they can see if our words and our actions, if they line up with what they hear at church or what they've learned at different places they go to about God. When you're driving your car and you're driving along and someone cuts you off and almost causes you to crash, the words you say, your actions, your children, they see and hear how you respond. If someone offends you, do you forgive them? Or do you, say bad things about that person, your spouse? Once again, your children, if they're living at home, they see and hear how you respond. So as parents, we get to spend a fair bit of time with our kids. And this provides us with excellent opportunities where we can encourage them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. At mealtime, that's a great time. Yes, we can ask our kids, how's their day been? But we can also ask them, how did their faith affect what they did today? Not only can you ask them that question, but you can share, give examples of how you've been able to live, how your faith has affected what you did that day as well. And when you're driving around, it's good being a taxi driver. Once again, this is a great time to share with your children. Share with them your faith. Whether it's discussing things that you can hear on the radio or songs that have got words that you can just discuss, and once again, bring the conversation back to God. And then at bedtime, once again, letting our children talk, but also to listen to what they're saying, but also to pray with them in the day in prayer. It's a perfect opportunity. Now, for basketballers to be successful at scoring their points, they also need to keep their balance. And this means they need to spread their weight evenly over their 2 feet. And Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." On the day of a basketball game, the basketball player, they're not going to come along wearing jeans and thongs and beanie and carrying a backpack with all the weights that they normally lift at the gym. They're not going to do that at all. Instead, they're going to come as light as possible. And for those of you that have seen basketball players or the Bendigo Braves, they wear light shirts, white shorts, and they're sporting basketball boots. They don't wear extra clothing or have extra weights on them. They want to keep their balance. They don't want anything to hinder them, to make it difficult for them. In Hebrews 12 verse 1, it reminds us that we also need to throw off the things that will hinder us if we're to finish well. Now, don't answer this question out loud, but what is it that gets in your way? Is there sin in your life that separates you from God? Is there sin that you need to confess to God and then turn from it? Or is there secret sin that only you and God knows about? secret sin, it's no different to any other sin. Just because others don't see it, it doesn't make it any more respectable. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it reminds us that humans, they look at the outward appearance, but the Lord, He looks at the heart. Not even a whispered curse or an evil thought is hidden from God's view. God sees what we do, and He knows what we're thinking. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, we're reminded that one day God will judge the secrets of the heart. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, it says that God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, and Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, we read how that secret sins, they will not remain a secret, and the Lord will bring to light the things that are hidden in the darkness. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter whether it's done in public or in secret. It still separates us from God. And God, who knows the innermost secrets of our hearts, He sees our sin clearly, no matter how well we think we've covered it up. Pornography and lust, they're just an example of a secret sin that can hinder us and stop us from focusing on Jesus. It's amazing what we can access these days on our phones, tablets and computers. Yes, there are times when we can view images by accident, but it's what happens next that affects our focus. Do we quickly change screens? Do we press the delete button in our minds? Do we ask God to take away the image? Or do we linger around and look at the picture and maybe even click on it and open up another browser and look at that image and who knows what's going to our thoughts now? Where's our attention? Where's our focus? What about our friends? Hopefully we all have friends that we're witnessing to and sharing the love of Jesus with. But do our friends, do their values, do their words, do their activities, are they a distraction to us? Do they help us to focus on Jesus? Satan, he knows exactly how we're wired. He knows how we think. And Satan, he's not going to go around and give you a congratulatory certificate just because you're focused on Jesus. He's going to do the opposite. He's going to do his best to find your weak spot. And then he'll do his best to distract you in an attempt to take your focus off Jesus. Now, before we heard a reading, it was quite startling from Mark chapter 9. And it said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Now this passage, it's not encouraging self-mutilation. Instead, it's stressing the importance of cutting sin out of our lives. And sometimes to cut sin out of our lives, it can be quite painful. Giving up a relationship, a friendship, a job, a habit that is against God's will, it may be as hard and as painful as cutting off your hand. But we need to make sure that sin is not going to deter us or tempt us to take our eyes off Jesus. And during the times when you feel distracted, a helpful way to help you keep your focus on Jesus is by being accountable to other people. And by being accountable to others, it's giving them permission to rebuke you where necessary. It's also giving them permission to encourage you. As a result, you can also pray together and encourage one another so that you can both be spurred on to keep your focus on Jesus. There's one more thing that a basketballer has to do if they're going to succeed at scoring points. And that is, they have to follow through. This means that after you've thrown the ball, you continue following after that ball to try and get it in case it doesn't go in the ring. You go for the rebound. And to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we also need to follow Him every day. It's not just a thing we do on Sundays at 6:30 for an hour and a half, and then when we walk off the property we can do what we want. keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus is a commitment. It's a challenge. It is hard. We'll make mistakes. Yes, we'll miss the mark. We'll sin. But just like a basketballer, if they miss, they follow through and they try again. And whenever we sin, whether it's through our thoughts, words, or our actions, we need to follow through and ask God to forgive us. We need to turn from our ways so that we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now, during a basketball game, basketball players, they get very hot, they get sweaty. Sometimes they can injure themselves, and occasionally once they've injured themselves, they need to keep on playing. They also have to contend with the screaming fans who are either encouraging them or else they're yelling abuse at them or else telling them how they should be playing the game. And in verse 3, we're reminded of how the people who this book of Hebrews was originally written to, they were undergoing persecution and opposition. And as believers, we can also face difficult and tough times. But none of us have suffered to the point of Christ. In verse 4 it says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood." No one here has suffered like Christ did, as none of us have died for our faith. Yes, Jesus, he suffered and he died on a cross. And then he rose again, so that you, so the people sitting around you, so that I and everyone else could be forgiven for the sins and the wrong things that we have thought, said or done. Jesus took the punishment for each of us so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. And if there's anyone here tonight who hasn't said sorry to God or you're unsure, you know, where you stand, I'd love to speak to you, or feel free to speak to Rob at the end of the service as well. Basketball coaches are there to help their players. And as a result, coaches can be quite demanding of the players that are on their team. They can push their players to the limit. They discipline them. They correct them. They also teach them how to do things in a more efficient way. The coach is there to help the players achieve the best that they possibly can. And God, he also coaches us as well. It's never pleasant being disciplined or corrected by God. But he does it because he loves us and he wants the best for us. And when God disciplines us, we can look at it in a number of ways. We can accept it and say, "That's too hard," and then do nothing about that. We can accept it with self-pity, thinking that we don't really deserve his discipline. We can be angry and resentful towards God, and we can ignore what he's saying. Or we can accept it gratefully and then make the necessary changes. God is good at showing us things that we need to change and get right in our lives. But the problem is that often we're too stubborn. We don't like to listen. But we can also be distracted by the everyday events, but we don't recognize God's voice. Each of us, we all have to choose how we're going to respond when God disciplines us. And you might feel as though you're not strong enough to respond to God's discipline. But we need to remember that God is with us. He'll help us all the way. And as we follow Christ, we can draw on his strength to help us through. And it's amazing how over time, as we listen to God and make the necessary changes to our lives, we are then able to go out and help other people who are going through similar struggles or still trying to work through the same things that we're working through. And finally, as we live our lives with our eyes fixed on Jesus, just think about it for a moment. How good a witness is that to our friends, our neighbours, our relatives, our work colleagues, our children and grandchildren? They will see that you're different. They will see that you respond in a different way when you face difficult situations. And as a result, they will ask you questions. Isn't that a great way in which we can be a witness? Now, this evening, I've referred to basketball as an ongoing illustration as we've looked at this passage in Hebrews. And the theory behind shooting the ball through the ring, it all sounds pretty easy. But if we were to go out to the hall and line up in a line and try and shoot the ball through the ring, how many of us would actually succeed in getting the ball through the ring? And it's the same in our Christian lives. I've mentioned numerous things that we can do to help keep our focus on Jesus. But how are you going at putting that into practice? Are there distractions in your life that are taking your focus away from Jesus? Is your life balanced, or is there sin that you need to confess to God and turn from? And how's the follow-through going as well? After all, we've all made mistakes. None of us are perfect. But we can all be forgiven as Jesus took the punishment for each of us. We can turn from the wrong things that we've done. We can keep our focus on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews, he wants his readers to finish well. And each of us, we can also finish well. We can live our lives with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love each of us. We thank you that you sent Jesus who died in our place so that we can be forgiven. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that needs to say sorry and turn from whatever it is that they've done wrong, just pray that you'll give them the confidence to do that. And if there's anyone here who's struggling with a secret sin, I pray that they'll have the courage to admit that to someone so they can help keep them accountable and encourage them as well. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes focused on you, setting aside any distractions so that we can live our lives for you and finish well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.